In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today proclaiming the Word of God. Proclaiming the Word of God. God became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is God, the second person in the Blessed Trinity. God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So God has become flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Amen and amen. So I'm glad to be with you today, and we're looking at 1 Samuel 3. We're going to the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no open vision. So it sounds like most of the church that there is no open vision. I tell you, God is still into giving visions. You cannot conjure them up, but you can have them by the grace of the living God if you're open to them. I know that I've had several visions, and they have all proven to be true. And I'm not saying many, I've only had about three. And they came at times when I didn't expect them to come. They came at times when I didn't expect them to come. I saw things that were going to happen. Yesterday on the O'Reilly Factor, he said that the economy is the Titanic economy. The Lord showed me that in 1996. I saw the Titanic sink, and I saw the world economy going into the drink. And we are $17 trillion in the hole. And only God can help us through. Let me tell you this. Only God can help us through. There is vision. Jesus tells us through the scripture that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see dreams, and your young men visions. There are visions, and God gives them. They need to be discerned also. You know, everything from what I see does not mean that it's from God. They need to be discerned with other people. Someone came to me just on the internet and told me that she's had a vision of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, you know, maybe she has. Maybe she has. She went to one place that thought she was crazy. I don't know. I haven't talked with her. I haven't listened to her. I don't know what the fruit is. You see, you need to discern those things. But I believe God gives vision. You got to be careful. I'm not saying you don't get be careful. You've got to be careful. Because if you're not careful, you're going to go down the wrong road. So you discern things in the name of Jesus. You discern things in the name of the Lord. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, sleeping, and his eyes being waxed and were dim because he's old, that he could not see. And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and Samuel was laying down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am, here I am." And he ran unto Eli. See, there was no vision, there was no word of God. And he said, "Here I am, you call me." And Eli said, "I didn't call you, lie down, go to sleep." And he went and lay down. And the Lord again called Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli. He doesn't know the Lord. He doesn't know the Lord at this time. And he said, "Here I am. You called me." And he answered, "I didn't call you, my son. Lie down and go to sleep." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. There it is. Samuel knew Eli, but did not know the Lord. There are so many people that know the church, but do not know the Lord. There is a difference. We need to be active members in the church because we know the Lord, because the Lord has revealed himself to us. Not know about, but know. We just buried one of my friends, Grace Flaherty, and she knew the Lord. She knew the Lord. I know she knew the Lord, and she came to understand Jesus and come to seek Jesus in her life. And she died a beautiful Christian because she knew the Lord. I'm telling you, it's all about knowing the Lord. You can know about the Lord. You can know by heart the Gospel of John, but doesn't mean you know the Lord. To know the Lord means there's been an epiphany. There's been a revelation. There's been an unveiling of the veil. You come to know him. You have come to experience him. You know that he's real. You know his name. You know that he loves you. But Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am." And Eli said, Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he called you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant listens.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant listens." I tell you, this is the change of Samuel's life. No more does he depend upon Eli, but he will depend upon Eli and the Lord. You see, the Lord and Eli, in that order. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that hears shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house." Remember that Eli's sons were, what were they doing? They were having sex with the women outside the temple, outside Shiloh. They were getting the best food, and they were not holy. And so the Lord says, he's spoken against the house of Eli, and I begin, I will also make an end to this house. For I have told Eli that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and Eli restrained them not. They were vile. They were evil. They were the priests, but they were vile. They were evil. They had sex with the women. They wanted the best food before it was sacrificed. So the Lord promises to destroy the house of Eli. "And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." In other words, no sacrifice was going to change God's mind. "And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision," you know, because it's not a positive vision. I'm going to destroy your house. I'm going to take your sons. It's not a positive vision. And what else does it say? "And he said, 'What is the thing that the Lord had said to thee?'" That's Samuel. That's Eli asking Samuel. "I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that the Lord said unto thee." And Samuel told Eli every word and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord, let him do what he seems good." This was not a positive word. It was a word that Eli's whole house would be destroyed. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And he did not let any of his words fall to the ground. He prophesied, and it came to be. He called those things that are not as if they were, and they came to be. I tell you, we have the gift of prophecy. If you want to use it, we are anointed priests, prophets, and kings at baptism, that the Lord gives a prophetic word, a prophetic word. Right now, I hear him saying, the Lord gives a prophetic word. Do not be afraid. Come close to me. I call you to be all mine. I call you to make a difference in this earth. I call you to know me. I call you to love me. I will give you the power that you need as you step out in faith. I will give you the power you need as you step out in faith. I am the Lord, and you must put me first. I am the Lord, and you must put me first. There is no other God but me. I am the Lord, and you must put me first. Amen. Put me first, even above my life, even above the church. But God works through his church. But you see, we don't preach the church, we preach Christ. We preach Christ and we preach him crucified. Who said that? St. Paul. We don't preach the church, we preach Christ and we bring people into the church where they can receive the sacraments, where they can go to confession, where they can receive the body and blood of the Lord. We are not to preach the church. We were given the mission to preach Jesus. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not let any of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now all Israel went out against the Philistines in battle, and they pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek, and the Philistines put themselves in the array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. Israel lost the battle before the Philistines, and they slew many of the army in the field, about 4,000 Israelites. And when the people were come to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Where hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh, and let us bring it before the hands of our enemies." So the people went to Shiloh, and they might bring them thence the Ark of the Covenant. So they're taking the Ark out of Shiloh, and they're bringing it to the war. So the people sent to Shiloh, and they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, which the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted, "Ho!" They all shouted. It was a gift of praise. And with the great shout, with the great shout, so that the earth rang out again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does this noise mean, this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing before. Woe unto us, who will deliver us, who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all plagues in the wilderness." So we see that the Philistines knew that there was power, not in the army of Israel, but in the relationship that God had with the Israelites. And I tell you where that presence of God was. The Ark of the Covenant had two angels, and above the angels' wings, the presence of God was there. And this is real. This is real. The Ark of the Covenant was the place where God dwelt. It is not God. It is not God. The Ark of the Covenant is not God, but it is the place where God dwelt. It's like the tabernacle. The tabernacle is the place where Jesus dwells among us. He also dwells in our broken hearts. The tabernacle and our hearts are like the Ark of the Covenant. Let me continue. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does this noise mean?" And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." You know what? Sometimes your enemies know more than you do. God has come into the camp. And they said, "Woe to us, for there has not been such a thing before. Woe to us, who shall deliver us from the hand of the mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. Fight the Hebrews." And the Philistines fought, and Israel again was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons, Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Eli, Hophni, and Philly, and the ark of the Lord was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain, just as Samuel prophesied. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent, with the earth upon his head. He was a foot soldier. And when he came to Eli, he sat upon his seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God, that's Eli. And when the man came into the city, he told it. All the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What does this noise mean? This tumult, what does it mean?" And the man came in haste and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, that he could not see. And the man said to Eli, "I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army." And he said, "What is there done, my son? What's happening? What's happening? Tell me what's happening." And let's see what he says. And the messenger answered and said, "Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God was taken." And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that Eli fell from his seat backwards by the side of the gate, and he broke his neck, and he died, for he was an old man, and he was heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Let me tell you, God's word is being fulfilled. And if it is not a word that is positive, it is a word that God calls his people to repentance. He said that Eli's family could not erase what they had done. No sacrifice could erase it. But let me tell you this. When God sees Jesus crucified, raised from the dead, anything can happen. The glory of God can come. The power of God can come. The presence of God can come. Let me tell you that if you are walking against the Lord today, the Lord wants you to come to him and to be made new. Be made new. The Lord wants that. And he asks you, "Do you want to be made new? You have been my enemy so far, but now you are my friend. You are my servant. Give me your life. Give me your life. Give me your life." And the word of the Lord goes on. And it came to pass when he broke his neck and died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about that time of her, the time of her death, the women that stood by her said, unto her, Fear not, for you have borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And they named the child Ichabod, meaning the glory of God departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of the Lord was taken. Let me tell you this. We can sing God Bless America all we want, but you know what? God will not bless America until America turns back to God. We can sing them all we want, but God is looking for repentance from the country of the United States. Why? Because we are a covenanted country. We, in our foundings, covenanted ourselves to the Lord Himself. We covenanted ourselves to the Lord Himself. And we are a covenanted country, which means God expects of us that we return to Him. And how do we return to Him? We return to Him with prayer. We return to Him with fasting. We return to Him with confession, saying we have deserted the Lord. I tell you, it's very evident that this country has deserted the Lord. How do I know? I know because God cannot even be mentioned in the schools. I know because now, in God we trust, which is the motto of the United States, now is on the rim of the new money. It is not even on the face of the new money. I'm telling you that the United States needs one thing, a good repentance before the Lord. He has given us all so much. He has given us all so much. Our country has everything that we need. The leadership that we have, we deserve. I'm telling you, we deserve it. We voted it in, and we deserve it. And that leadership has given us trillions of dollars toward the desert, toward the debt. And you cannot sustain these trillions of dollars. Some of the money we've borrowed from China. If China stops giving us money, we're in great trouble. What is it that China gives us? What do we give China back? We're given the interest of the money. We pay the interest on the loan that she gives us. But I'm telling you, the United States needs to repent. And repentance begins with the house of God. That means the churches need to repent. That means I need to repent, because repentance begins with the house of God. It doesn't begin with the country. It doesn't begin with the neighbors. It begins with the church. Repentance, that we have taken the Lord for granted, that the Lord Himself loves us, and we have taken Him for granted. We have thrown Him off the throne of our country. He is no longer the Lord of the United States. We heard Obama say that this country is not a Christian nation. I'm telling you, we were formed on Christ Jesus, and we were formed on the Bible, and we were formed on the Word of God. It's time for the country to say, this is our root, these are our roots, and we repent because we have taken away our roots. Jesus Christ was the one that the fathers of the United States, the early fathers of the United States, they rested upon Jesus. When people went to school, what do you think they studied? They studied the Bible. They studied the Bible. I'm telling you, you cannot read the Bible anymore in any school. You cannot read the scriptures in any school. We need to repent. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for my lack of repentance. Forgive the United States for its lack of repentance. Forgive the church for its lack of repentance. Lord, we truly want you to bless the United States, but there will be no blessing until we say, Here I am, Lord, I come to do thy will. Here I am, Lord, I come to do thy will. Father, give us a repentant heart. Give us a heart that cries out. Give us a heart that cries out to God. Give us a heart that loves God and will love Him until the end. Please, Father, give us that heart. We ask that in the name of Jesus the Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus the Lord. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time. proclaiming the word of God. I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. Very easy. It's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.